What's your what? Didn't you may be thinking to yourself, didn't he just say that he was going to have a guest on? Well, sometimes happens with live radio. Guest for the moment is not available. Patrice Chaplin is the author that we had lined up for here. And should she be listening, hey, want to give us a buzz? We're having a hard time connecting. I don't know why quite yet. We're going to continue to work on that while we'll open up the rest of the phones for open lines. Now, if we bail on open lines, please understand, we'll try to get to all the people that we line up here, but that may not even happen. So, yes, you're kind of doing us a favor by jumping back in on open lines, and we'll make the most of it while we have it. But we could get out before we get to your phone call, but we'll try not to. And we really, I'm looking forward to this story, City of Secrets. It's really cool, and I want to believe. It's a remarkable claim that she had an ongoing relationship with somebody who was a time traveler. In fact, maybe that's the problem with Patrice. Maybe she, you know, maybe she's here but not. One of those pesky time portals opened up or something. But anyway, we're hoping that we'll be able to grab her in just a few minutes. In case, we'll go to the open lines. We were talking about luck as sort of a theme. A couple of these lucky moments, luckiest things that ever happened to you. Liked where that was going, but we don't have to stay there. Open lines is just that, up to you. If you didn't catch last hour, if you're just tuning in right now, we had Kane Hodder on. He was the guy who was probably the most famous of all the Jasons from the Friday the 13th series. He was in number 7, number 8, number 9, and Jason X. He's also featured in His Name Was Jason. It's a DVD out from Anchor Bay Entertainment, and it's a DVD documentary about Jason and the Friday the 13th series. It'll also be on Encore Action, the Encore, you know, movie channel, the action flavor of Encore coming up this Friday night. Check your local listings, and we'll get back to open lines coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, good. We're working on getting Patrice Chaplin back in her story of the City of Secrets. In the meantime, the City of Angels on open lines. Chelsea is hanging on. Chelsea?
Hello.
Hi, it's open lines. Where you want to take us?
I'm very interested in this woman that's coming online.
It should be very cool.
Well, unless she's dating Doctor Who.
Well, you know what? I actually thought about that a little bit. Just to tie back a little bit to Jason, too, the Friday the 13th series. I thought about Doctor Who with that. All of the different incarnations of the actors to play Jason reminded me of Doctor Who a little bit. How they keep the character but change the actor. And I don't know exactly how she's going to explain this. I know that her editor felt that she was pushing the reader's sense of, you know, a credible author. So whether, what I look forward to hearing the whole story, the unvarnished story coming up.
I can't believe what she's gonna say.
Well, but you gotta let her say it first, and then choose not to believe it. Okay,
No,
you
I'm not
can't.
saying I don't believe it. I can't believe that anyone thinks that they've been with a time traveler.
Well, how about this? Wait till you find out who that time traveler was, and maybe that'll even add to it coming up. But thank you, Chelsea, for getting us started for Open Lines. Rick is in Little Rock, Arkansas, on Coast to Coast. Rick?
Hey, I hope this Patrice lady isn't shagging Austin Powers.
You know, I thought, meaning the third and gold member or whatever it was that the right and the other time travel? Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Psychedelic time hole there.
Right.
Anyway, I just wanted to share something that happened to me Friday that I hope, you know, if one person can hear this in America and make them stop and think about what's going on with our country right now. I ran into a World War II veteran Friday night at dinner, and I went to him and I thanked him for what he did, and I asked him, you know,
Right.
what did you do in World War II? He says, I was a bomb loader in France. And I'm like, wow, that was really cool. And he just started kind of rambling about him and his buddies and everything that was happening, and you could kind of tell the guy was going through some dementia because he really wasn't starting or finishing his stories really well.
Right.
And he looked at me, it just his whole face just changed, and he grabbed my arm and he said, did you vote for Obama? And I said, no, sir, at all. And he got all teary-eyed, and he said, I didn't fight for this. My buddies didn't die for this to be happening to our country. And I was kind of, like, shocked, you know?
Well, I mean, this isn't that kind of a show, though. And I appreciate what you're saying. You have a right to that political opinion. And
yeah.
I don't happen to feel like we're entering into some ring of hell right now because we elected an African-American president or a Democrat for that matter.
Well, no, it's just
so awesome. And the fact that if this man feels that way and he doesn't like black people or whatever reason and feels like, you know, he fought to keep America white or whatever his opinion was, he has a right to that, too, because it's a free country and he fought to keep it free, even for opinions with which I disagree. So I just respectfully just say, let's end that conversation here and know that I appreciate the fact that you walked up and thanked a veteran. And I think that's something we ought to do all the time. And beyond that, I hope we're not going to get bogged down in something where every time every one little thing happens, it's going to get vetted and vetted and vetted and vetted as being the next evidence of the coming disaster. I don't know who could survive under that. I don't know how anything could prosper under that. It's not what we did on the show when President Bush came into office. It will not be, at least on my watch, what we do when President Obama's in office. You got to give everybody a chance to try and get it together. And if you really are an American, and I assume, Rick, that you are, then you got to root for your tribe. And you got to root for your tribe to succeed even when you didn't choose the chief. Because if you're rooting against somebody or you're secretly hoping they're going to fail, I don't understand where being an American comes into that. And I still hope that President Bush is right on Iraq and that I still hope that that turns out to be a good thing in the long run. I still hope even the things that I think he did wrong, I hope to be proven wrong about. And because I think in the end, that's where we have to be. Is wanting to do the best we can with what we got where we are and rooting for whoever it is that's in a position of leadership to try to make things better. Ray is in Gainesville, Florida. Open lines until we get to our guest coming up a little bit later on this hour. Hey, Ray?
Yes, Ian. I have got to be one of the luckiest children in the world at the time. I was 4 years old back in 1951, and I was at one of the busiest streets in Los Angeles, where a bridge goes over and another one goes under it, Glendale Street. And I reached for a ball, and I can remember hearing the screech. And when I reached down, I got hit by a car, and I think I had one of every bone in my body broken. But
oh,
I had no internal punctures, no internal organs damaged. I even had a dislocated jaw, but no brain concussion.
Wow. And how old were you at the time, Ray?
I was 4 years old, and probably because I was so young that my body just went with it.
Right.
And there was 30 to 35-foot skid marks. And back then, all the cars had what they call cattle catchers. You know, it was the big bumper guard.
Right, right.
And my shirt got caught on the bumper guard, and it kept me off the ground, or it would have just been hamburger meat.
I'll be darned. Well, I'm so glad that's a very interesting story, and that's just what we're talking about. Go ahead.
I have one other thing, and that is that I have no permanent injuries. I came out, you know how fast children grow. I came out of the hospital in a wheelchair, you know, and you know how fast children grow. I was in the hospital for 6 months, and then it was out. It took me 6 months in a wheelchair, but I'm here.
Well, I think that's awesome. And to go back to what I was saying, we were just talking about luck last hour, and so we make it to a couple more luck stories coming up for open lines. But we were talking about that. Sometimes luck is, as scientists and researchers are determining, like a lucky guess might just be unconscious information being processed by your brain. The conclusion is reached, and then the information is passed along to your brain as a guess. You're just going on a hunch, and that's what passes as luck when afterward that, you know, that rational thought turns out to be right. We think, oh, that was lucky. But there are other types of luck. And so that's what we're kind of exploring here with Friday the 13th coming up and people feeling unlucky. And I suppose we could also branch that discussion out a little bit in the next few minutes we have between feeling lucky and when something unlucky has happened to you that has absolutely no explanation whatsoever. Hey, Jim is in Indiana, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Jim?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking, I've had a little story about when about 20 years ago, me and a buddy of mine got our income tax checks, and we took a bus down to Galveston and spent a month on the beach. And we ended up broke when we were done and had to hitchhike home. And when we were getting out of Texas, a guy, a preacher, picked us up. And he drove us to Pearl, Mississippi. And he dropped us off. And he started to drive off on the off-ramp. And then he came back walking and said the Lord told him to give us this $2. And, oh, before that, he told us he was praying for us to get a job. And he's praying that it was unexpected so we'd know it was his prayers. So he come back and he give us that $2, and we went in the Waffle House that just started sprinkling rain, and we got a job in there building a trailer up that this guy caught on fire. They had a trailer park, and we told him we're from Elkhart, where they build trailers.
Right, exactly.
And so we ended up going back home having more money than we started with when we left. So I kind of think everything's in God's hands.
I like that idea that the preacher gave you $2 and that was the reason why you went into the Waffle House, so that you could have something to eat.
Well, it started sprinkling rain.
Right. Well, but you had $2. You could go eat something.
So we had money to go in.
I think that's great.
Get a cup of coffee.
See, and Waffle House has always been lucky for me, too. I love Waffle House. We don't have any of them up around this way. They're very scarce anyway. And I love Waffle House. Hey, thanks, Jim. I appreciate that story. That's great. Don is in Oklahoma. Is open lines on Coast to Coast. Don?
Hello, Ian. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really find this subject of luck fascinating, and I think it'd be a tremendous topic to devote an entire program to sometime. The reason I called was I play poker semi-professionally, and you get such a high frequency of trials, I guess, that it seems like bad luck especially is manifested from a thought, and it's baffling, it's mystifying, it's amazing sometimes how things can turn against you if you start letting your thoughts lean that direction.
Doesn't that tell you, though, that what you've done is you've changed your filter on the same thing that was happening to you, but you look at it through I'm being unlucky filter through this is going to be a great moment, my luck is about to turn filter.
Absolutely does, but there's something about the frequency that tends to make it much easier to slip towards the negative side of that equation than it is to stay in the positive side of the equation.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, to what do you attribute that? That's harder to stay in one side of the equation. Why?
In the game of poker, it could be because you're trying to evaluate the skill factor that's involved, and when you're a good poker player, you almost have to take an entire disbelief in luck as a factor.
Well, or isn't that also just when anytime you're playing in a game of cards, the odds are against you?
No, not at all. No,
no,
no, not at all. No, in fact, the premise of the game of poker is the higher skilled player is able to put the most amount of money into a situation in which the odds are favorable.
Well, wait. I'm not saying that the odds are against you every time, but that's part of what might lead to the psychology of feeling negative, is that you know that it's just statistically, mathematically, the odds are against you most of the time. There will be times when the odds will be in your favor. You'll get X number of cards, and you realize, aha, I've got a 3-to-1 chance of this paying off. But that I'm just saying that may lead to that feeling of giving into the negative.
And in that one particular game we're discussing, poker, that's where the skill comes in evaluating whether or not you've got the odds in your favor and you have the decision to play or not play.
Right. And even if we take the cards out of it, those great poker players, and I'm sure you're one of them, learning how to read other people, not just how to read the cards, but reading the other people holding the cards, that too is the coolest art form. I can't do that, but
it really is. And what gets thrown under the category of luck is kind of what you're referring to in the article, where, you know, a lucky guess is actually just your mind processing a lot of information.
Right. And you're not aware of it. They say the same thing's true about deja vu.
You know, I would agree. I would agree.
I appreciate that, Don. Interesting stories. Thanks for jumping in. The thing about deja vu is that you are processing the information that you're experiencing. You know, I am here in a room and there's a light and there's an apple that's half eaten, and you process it before you even know you're thinking of it, so that when you suddenly are aware of it, you've already thought of it, and that could account for deja vu. Now, not to me, I think deja vu is more profound than that, but they've been able to do the math on this, and they get like a, you know, 2-second delay or something. And that 2 seconds between when you thought you thought of it and when you actually had thought of it could explain a lot. Tony is in Seattle on Coast to Coast. I refer everybody to the blog I posted last hour on this at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, Tony?
Yeah.
All right. So open lines. Where do you want to take us?
Well, I wanted to suggest a guest named Dr. John Kramer. He's been looking at retrocausality. He's a professor of physics at the University of Washington, and he's also got an article in Alternative View. It's an analog of science fiction magazine.
Okay.
It's on Hollow Drive. There's this new concept.
Tell me about retrocausality. What does that mean first?
Retrocausality is, okay, you're a time traveler, you're in the future, and you say, remember to do this in the past, and it happens.
Okay. That's cool.
Retrocausality.
I totally love that.
it's right.
He can be a professor of that? How do you get to be a professor of that? That's what I want. That's the gig I want.
Anyway, he's got this. There's a new theory out that the world is a hologram, and that there's pixels the size of Planckian black holes that are, you know, ultra small. But
right.
If you can find the 2D surface that these are projected from, and if you could get to that 2D surface, you could move faster than light from one location to another.
Isn't that the movie The Matrix?
Well, sort of.
Okay. So he's a professor of The Matrix, of the Matrix series.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool that science fiction is becoming reality.
I think it's very cool, too. I just try to keep it real on academia. Sometimes they get these really cushy gigs. And all right, and his name again is what?
Dr. John Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R.
All right, I'll take a look at that. That would be cool. And we are talking about that coming up with our guest, Patrice Chaplin. The book is called City of Secrets. It's about her ongoing relationship with a time traveler. I'm going to let her tell the story. I was reading the book until I found out that the editors told her to take a lot of stuff out, because I want the whole story coming up. We'll hear it on Coast to Coast AM. And we are lucky. We got it worked out. The conflict and the phone numbers and stuff and schedule, it's all good. She'll be coming up at the top of the hour. That gives us another half hour, though, of open lines. And I'm really looking forward to that. So you can take it into any topic you want, or you can pull on our lucky or unlucky threads coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right. So got it all worked out. Patrice Chaplin coming up at the top of the hour, the author of City of Secrets. And she'll talk about this time traveler relationship she had. It's very interesting. It's the who, it's the where, it's the what? It's all together coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. In the meantime, we'll go back with some more open line calls to take us up to the top of the hour. Thank you, everybody, for hanging on. As open lines go, you can take it anywhere you want to go. We did talk a little bit about luck and being unlucky, too, as Friday the 13th is approaching. And then we'll move ahead to the next significant day after Friday the 13th, and that would be Valentine's Day on Saturday. And we'll spend the rest of the show talking about this interdimensional love affair of Patrice Chaplin. And we'll let her tell the story coming up on Coast to Coast AM. Your stories next as Open Lines continue. This is Ian Punnett. Sorry, hear that creaking mic as I reached for my boom just as we were. Well, that just sounded terrible, didn't it? Reached for my boom. It's just the mic. And I reached for it just as they brought the mic back up again. Sorry about that. Let's go to Joe in Flagstaff, Arizona, wildcard line. Open lines for the rest of this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Joe?
Hi, Ian. It's
hey there.
Really, really great to talk to you. Hey, listen, before I tell you my this reoccurring dream I have, I just wanted to say that I think it's really great that what you guys do at Coast to Coast AM, because if you listen to talk radio a lot, and I do listen to quite a bit of talk radio, if you notice the tone and just the angst and the rhetoric and the hyperbole, and they're just ratcheting it up so bad. And I think that you guys, especially George, just shows that you don't have to be a loud and obnoxious person to be successful in talk radio. And I just really appreciate what you guys do as far as that's concerned.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think I can speak for George on this one. I'm sure he'd back me up. We're grateful every day that we get to do this show. And that Art started it the way he did. And Art was never shy on political opinions, but could still express them in a way which is not typical for talk radio in general. And you're right. There's a lot of table pounding. There's a lot of fire breathing. And they may all be right. For all I know, I'm not God. I don't have that kind of empirical knowledge. But I don't want to spend my day there in my head pounding a table and yelling at people. I just not how I want to spend the Absolutely. Precious time I have on this planet. So, so where are you going to take us then? You said something about a dream?
Yeah, well, this has been a recurring dream that I've had for a long time, and I don't know what it means or if it means anything at all or if any other people have had a similar dream, but I have this dream where I'm watching the sun set, go down, it becomes night, I see the moon, and it's full. And then suddenly, the sun and the moon start to go backwards. Like suddenly the sun starts to rise from the west, and the moon starts to go the other direction. And nobody else around me seems to be very alarmed by this, but it's usually preceded, or usually after that, there's some sort of an earthquake or a volcano or something. And I don't know.
What do you think it means? What do you think it means?
Okay, well, I've got two theories. One, maybe I'm having prophetic visions of the apocalypse, but two, I think I've had a tendency to have these kind of dreams, and it might be just wrapped up in my own psychology. I think.
How old are you, Joe?
35.
Okay, so at any time at 35, are you starting to feel like time is getting away from you?
Of course.
Well, I'm just throwing this out as a possibility that maybe all the dreams are talking to you about is wanting to roll back time. You want another bite at the apple. You want to you want to go back to a time when, if you know now what you knew then, what you might do differently.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because another recurrent dream that I have is I'm back 20 years ago, and when I'm just a teenager, and I'm hanging out with all my friends in the neighborhood, and suddenly I realize that I know what's going to happen in everyone's lives, and I am suddenly aware that I'm back in time, and so I start telling everyone what's going to happen in the future and try to warn people what they're going. So it's insightful what you say, but at the same time, sometimes I feel like anytime I have a dream about something in the sky that's kind of frightening, it's kind of symbolic of circumstances that are outside of my control, things I can't control that are somewhat threatening and trying to make other people aware, and yet they're oblivious. But
well, think about this. I've always loved this term. You are everybody in your dreams. So when you say that you're trying to make other people aware, could it be one part of your brain is trying to tell the other part of your brain? And it takes the form of different people, and you assign it to different personalities from your past. And we'll just leave that there, Joe, for you to think about. Don't know whether it's true. Dream interpretation is so fascinating to me, and I know nothing about it. I know about as much about that as I know about ballroom dancing. I mean, I've seen other people do it. I couldn't tell you what's a good one or a bad one, but all looks good to me. But take a look and see whether or not that speaks something to you, and maybe you'll come up with the answer in a dream. Mary is in Seattle on Coast to Coast. Mary?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Open lines. Where do you want to take
us?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I'll try one more time. Hello?
Hello? Can I hear you?
I don't know if I can hear you, if you can hear me, but I can hear you.
You can. Can you hear me?
Okay, I think I have to move on from that. Brad is in New York on Coast to Coast AM. Brad?
How you doing, Ian?
All right, good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, my observation is you guys play the greatest fade-in and fade-out music on Coast to Coast. And I really think you should put out a CD. Maybe you do already. But
I don't, but I'm glad it's there for other people to be reminded of great songs or other things, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to, you know, put a charity towards the League of Fighting Voters or the Big Bank of the Sky or whatever. But
okay.
my question to you is, and I do believe in UFOs after watching, and especially after watching the interview with Sergeant Clifford Stone. But my question to you is, and I asked my wife, I told her I would ask you this, why do you think UFOs have lights on when we've had a stealth project that literally you can't even pick up at night? I mean, what is the theory behind the lights at night? What do you think that is?
That have light, you're saying? Well, the UFOs that have light? Well,
yeah.
I mean, we can only assume that that's because they consciously want to have light.
Yeah, I mean, the lights on the UFO, why are they visible?
Right.
Yeah.
They must, if the UFO is extraterrestrial, I mean, if that's the origin, then there must be a reason why they want to be seen in that way.
Yes, I think so too.
And I certainly don't think they lack the technology. And if they are extraterrestrial, if the origin of these UFOs are from another planet, or they are remnants of another civilization that live here, or whatever, that whether it's preparation, whether it's whatever, they obviously, for what they're able to do, they would have to be able to come up with, even if they stole our stealth technology. But how do we know that they aren't stealthfully out there all the time? And just occasionally they pop on the lights.
Yeah, that's what I joke around saying, that they must want to have the paparazzi look at them.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. And one last thing. I think when people talk about this great calamity that they think is going to happen, I think it's not going to be a visual or an audio. I think what's going to happen is the Earth is almost going to become like a tuning fork, and you're going to feel the vibrations like a tuning fork when this happens, so that all people will know. And that's just my thought. And thanks so much for having the show on the program.
No, I appreciate that. That's a very interesting thought. I like that. The tuning fork vibration theory kind of brings us back to a harmonic convergence of some sort. Rick is in Newark, Delaware on Coast to Coast AM. Rick?
Oh, how you doing? Enjoying your show.
Thank you so much. Where do you want to take us?
From Newark, Delaware. I was going to talk about shadow people, but I wanted to change it up to something that was very interesting that happened to me on the eve before the tsunami happened.
Okay.
Okay, what happened was there's a crossword puzzle from Delaware, and in the crossword puzzle on the eve in the paper, I forget exactly what day it was on the crossword puzzle I was doing. This was on the eve, and I believe it was Christmas Eve, and the next morning is when I heard about the tsunami hitting and stuff like that. But anyway, in the paper, it was very interesting that I put this together afterwards, but the questions were, and they were pretty much in order, were like the first was 100. Was a question, like the 23rd question of the crossword puzzle, and it was in Sri Lanka, 100, meaning that what would the money amount be in Sri Lanka for 100? So the 100 was there in Sri Lanka. I'm pronouncing it right. Sri Lanka, is that how you pronounce it?
Sri Lanka. But
okay, Sri Lanka. But anyway, the 100 was the money denomination, and Sri Lanka was something I really never heard of because it was never talked about basically, you know, back then until the tsunami. But anyway, that was in there. And then the next one was percent was the next question, like what would the percentage be? And to make another one quick, it worked out to be 100%, and then the per, and then the next question after that was unlucky ones. Unlucky ones was like the next question after that. So what happened basically, and you could even send for this the eve of whenever tsunami was, the Wilmington,
sure,
Delaware paper, it worked out to be aftershock was one of the questions also, and I looked it up in the paper. And what was funny about that is that piece of the paper was missing out of my dictionary because I spilled coffee on it previously. So it worked out to be 100% per the unlucky ones, Sri Lanka. And the funny part about it was, is they wanted to know what after an earthquake, what would it be? And I looked at was looking for the paper for aftershock, you know, being a tremor which would happen after an earthquake. So it worked out to be where I spilled a cup of coffee on this, which would be actually a wave. The missing paper in my dictionary was aftershock I was looking for because of earthquake. And it worked out to be aftershock, earthquake, aftershock, tsunami, per unlucky ones, Sri Lanka.
Well, that's very interesting, Rick. And I think I wouldn't know how to research that for the out of the Delaware paper or like the dates and stuff. But I would call upon you and anybody else out there. And thanks, Rick. I think that's very interesting. If you could find the link for that. Contact your local Delaware paper and let them know that this is something that you want to pull up and get that over to Lex Lonehood. You know, we publish things all the time on coasttocoastam.com that come in as listener contributions. There's a whole section on it. I think that'd be a really cool thing to be able to pull up and look at. You know, fill in the answers if you want, but then send us a PDF or something like that, or JPEG. I don't know the difference. Shoot that over to Lex, and we'll put it up there on the web. People can look at it. And that does sound like a very freaky happenstance. Maybe not a coincidence, but there you go. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Mark is in Kirkland, Washington, on Coast to Coast. Mark.
Howdy, Ian. I love the show. And you mentioned earlier in the show that there were two holidays this week, but there's actually a third, and that's Lincoln's 200th birthday on the 12th.
True.
And I was wondering, perhaps, maybe you've done it already, but in terms of, like, you know, he had premonitions of his death, and there's some interesting, you know, Mary had the seances in the White House and that kind of stuff. It seems like there'd be a great show right there.
Well, I'm big on Lincoln, actually, and I think that I had heard something that was in the works for Lincoln's birthday or for President's Day being mentioned by the producers. I don't know what ever came of that, but and I'm looking forward to the new movie that's coming up, which is about the life of and the hours before, during, and after the assassination of Lincoln, with Harrison Ford is in the movie, and I can't remember who else, but it's based on that very popular book from a couple of years ago. And then tomorrow night, Monday night, on the History Channel, they're doing a thing on stealing Lincoln's body. So you're right. There is that other element. Until you called, I didn't have any Lincoln-like touches to the show, but I do now, so thank you. And we'll get to that Valentine's Day touch next hour, because Patrice Chaplin's ready to go, and we'll talk about her book, City of Secrets. And this, the full story, the full, the unvarnished truth about her relationship with a very well-known time traveler. And she is a woman who has been writing for years. She's a playwright. She's been published many times, and she's just telling for the first time her story of what happened in Spain. But more on that coming up. Dan is in Charleston, South Carolina, one of the greatest cities on the planet. On Coast to Coast. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Love Charleston. You live in a great place.
Yeah, yep. It's great. Yep. I'm a college student. This is the first time I've heard your show before. It's completely fascinating. But what I wanted to talk about was, I don't know if anyone's familiar with The Secret.
Sure. You mean the thing that they did on Oprah?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe a lot in that. I saw the movie last week. I saw the Secret movie, and I recently had a breakup with my girlfriend from high school for it was like a 2-year relationship. And anyway, so I saw The Secret, and I had this dream that she would contact me some way. The last time I had talked to her, she said she never wanted to talk to me again. She hated me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw this movie, and I projected positive thoughts, and like sure enough, a week later, she sent a note to me saying she wanted me back, and you know, like that was powerful.
Are you happy?
I mean, I am happy, but yeah, everything she put me through. I mean, I can't accept her back, but I just thought it was amazing that like thinking like that, it brought positivity. We're going to be friends, but I'm not, you know, I can't have her back in my life like that. But,
friends are good. We all grow. Remember that hate isn't the opposite of love. Apathy is. So even as she was bothering to whip up emotions about hatred, that still meant that you were hooking her somehow, that she would even be bothered by taking that much energy on you. And the more you listen to Coast to Coast, and I think this, you tell an interesting story, and I haven't seen The Secret, the movie, but I know the material in the book, and I know that much of what you experienced in that book are things that have been ongoing conversations on this show for years and years and years. So for many of us here in the middle of the, you know, in the middle of the night, that material seems sort of derivative. It's good. I'm not saying it's not, but we've kind of been down that road a little bit. So I think you'll enjoy as you continue to listen to Coast. Glad to have you. Thanks, Dan. And I wish you best of luck in your studies, too. And in love, as we're heading toward Valentine's Day, as I mentioned, Nick is in Cincinnati on Coast to Coast. Nick?
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. I've been a long-time listener. I've listened since the days of Art Bell several years ago, and I've really enjoyed the show for a really long time. Thanks a lot.
Well, glad to still have you. Thanks for hanging in there. Where's your quick thought on this?
Well, my quick thought is that, and it all ties into everything we've talked about, and it's just about deja vu and how things tie together, how you pick things out of life and see things. And your last caller mentioned The Secret, something that my mom has actually been scheduled some time to come sit with me and watch. And I've heard The Secret mentioned three times in the last 2 weeks when I've turned the show on within, say, 5 to 10 minutes of turning the show on. But real quick, what I wanted to mention was that recently upon a delivery to a local hardware store, I had to go back to the store to get something that I had forgotten. And on the way back to talk to the guy, I come to find out he's in the middle of the aisleway. As I'm walking down the aisle, there's a Daydream Believer playing by the Monkees on the radio.
Sure.
And as I walk past the aisle, there's these inspirational tiles, maybe something you'd put in your landscape. And as the line goes, oh, what can it mean to a Daydream Believer? The word believe, I see the word believe. The second tile said dream, and the third one said wonder. Basically, the line in reverse.
Yeah, sure.
And I've learned to notice things like that. And a teacher that I recently met back up with kind of inspired me to start jotting things like that down and keeping track. And after listening to, like, Glennis McCannis recently and the 111, I just saw that in the last two nights. I'm just noticing things like that come together.
Oh, I love that. I love that daydream believer.
To write that down. It did.
Yeah,
and it,
yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. I'm up against the top of the hour, but I appreciate that. And thanks, Nick, for jumping in. Sorry to strand Rich and Scott and everybody else that's holding on. But I think you're going to enjoy the next couple of hours as Patrice Chaplin tells the story of her City of Secrets and how it is that she came to be in this ongoing relationship from somebody from another dimension, or at least passing through another dimension. I'll be more specific. We'll let her tell the story coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.